from Ballymoney in County Antrim, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you with us today as we spend 15 minutes around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Is the Lord Jesus Christ the central figure in your life? Or is He just a fringe character? A convenient little add-on when things turn sour. The Apostle Paul was giving our Lord His proper place when he said in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18, "And He is the head of the body, the church, that in all things He might have the preeminence." In the piece of music you're about to hear, Ivan Parker emphasizes how indispensable the Lord Jesus Christ is in life. Without Him, I could do nothing. There's a good deal of what travels under the name Christianity that's utterly Christless. He doesn't seem to figure even in the minds of many who describe themselves as Christians. He doesn't seem to be so absolutely vital, never mind central, to what they believe. It seems to me that if you blotted Christ out of history and never spoke of him, it would hardly make any effective difference to these poor people. The fact is, if the Lord Jesus Christ isn't occupying that key position of our hearts, if he isn't central, crucial, vital, and right at the centre of all of our meditation and all of our living, our thinking and all of our praying, then we're not living as we should be living, and we really have no right to look for any real and lasting blessing in our lives. In all things, at all times, Jesus Christ must have the preeminence. As Colossians chapter 1 and the verse 18 puts it, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Now, we need to get a clear focus on this and ensure that Christ Jesus, our Lord, is truly central to our lives, hearts, and business. That's the basic thrust of our message today. First of all, consider with me, Christ in this central position compels us to think of his person. Two friends, dating back to the American Civil War days, sat talking on board a train. Both men, one a general, the other a colonel, claimed to be atheists. It wasn't long before the conversation moved to the place that Jesus occupied in religion. I think it's a shame that the historical Jesus has become so encrusted with supernatural superstition, one of them said. They continued writing off various gospel miracles as legends and myths and fables. Finally, the general suggested, somebody ought to write a novel about the real Jesus. That's a good idea, replied the colonel. General, you should do it. You could portray Jesus as he really was, a wonderful man, but nothing more. I'll do it, said the general. The general began careful research on the life of Christ. His book was eventually written and published. Its subtitle was A Tale of Christ. It became a bestseller. Over 2 million copies were sold. A movie of the book has proven to be one of the most popular films of all time. The name of the book and the movie? Ben-Hur. The author? General Lew Wallace. And the wonderful footnote to the history is this. While preparing the book, General Wallace became a sincere believer in the deity of Jesus Christ. Read those wonderful descriptions of Jesus in John chapter 1 and Colossians chapter 1 and other parts of the Bible, and you'll come face to face with the truth of Christ's deity and the truth of Christ's eternity. You just can't miss them there. Christ is the God-man, and he needed to be. Otherwise, not one soul from earth would ever have known either the joy of redemption from sin in this life or the glory of God's heaven in the life hereafter. It's been rightly pointed out that Jesus Christ is nothing to us and can do nothing for us unless he's truly and properly God as well as truly and properly man. The poet put it like this, some take him a creature to be, a man or an angel at most, but they have not feelings like me nor know themselves helpless and lost. So guilty, so helpless am I. I durst not confide in his blood, nor on his protection rely, unless I were sure he is God. There's no value or life in any so-called religion which doesn't exalt Jesus Christ, and no real purpose in any life that doesn't live for him or place him in a central position. When we think of Christ in the central position, we're compelled to think of his person. But then secondly, when we consider Christ in the central position, we are compelled to think of his pardon. Jesus left the capital city for the last time, passed through its gates, struggled with his cross on the way to a grisly Roman execution. The place of a skull is reached, dreaded spot on earth. It's a spot that chilled the spines of the stoutest of men and sent an earthquake of fear through their hearts. It's an area reserved for the worst criminals, for the cast-offs, for the condemned. They humiliated the Son of the living God there. They bent him down onto the cross, drove nails through those hands that had given sight to the blind and had calmed many a storm. They jolted and jarred him up between the brown surface of earth and the black lining of heaven. There they crucified him. The Son was switched off, and the fury of the Father was unleashed upon the Son. Every ounce of the wrath that had been stored up in the vaults of God as a result of our sins was poured out upon him. Christ died on Calvary to make peace between my sinful soul and the Most High and Holy God. Christ died on Calvary to take away the filthy garments of my sin and weave a robe of righteousness for me that I can wear before God and not fear that I'll be consumed. Christ died on Calvary so that I could live eternally. A Flemish sculptor was extremely poor. Often he went without food and worked in a clammy old studio. It was bitterly cold the night he finished this latest masterpiece. The thoughtful and meticulous artist was concerned in case the firm, fresh clay should freeze and crack and be ruined. He'd put too much of himself into that design to risk disaster, so he wrapped it in his warmest coat. That sculptor himself died from exposure during the night. His cherished statue was found unharmed. The warmth of his sacrifice had saved it. Now, that's only a feeble and faint picture of what Christ Jesus has done for us. Do you know anything about this? Do you know it within your heart? Have you seen Christ, embraced him as your Lord and your God, rejoiced in him as your substitute? When we see Christ in this central position, we are compelled to think about his person. We are also compelled to think about his pardon. And thirdly, we are compelled to think about his provision. A man lives in Toronto. He wakes up in the morning and wants a light to dress by, so he flicks a little switch in the wall, and the room lights up, and it's Niagara that does it for him. He goes to the bathroom, wants to heat some water for washing or shaving. Another switch goes on once again. Niagara supplies his need. He wants to speak to a friend in Montreal or Chicago, cities hundreds of miles away. He lifts up the phone, and again Niagara powers his message along the line. Niagara's an almost exhaustless source of power. There's another source of power we need if we're ever going to get through this life. And we have got the Niagara of power in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus declared in Matthew 28 and verse 18, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." In Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, he assures us that that power is available. Ye shall receive power. While in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13, Paul, who had drawn from that source of power, reminds us, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." As I go forward today, it's a case of learning to lean. Learning to lean on Jesus. Finding more power than I'd ever dreamed. I'm learning to lean on Jesus. That's how it is, and what power to. Make sure today Christ is central in your life. Think of his person. Think of his pardon. Think of his great provision. That's the way to know real blessing.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, coming from Ballymoney, County Antrim. We count it a privilege to bring the gospel of Christ to you in all its biblical fullness, and I trust that you've enjoyed today's program. If you've been challenged, encouraged, or helped in any way, we'd like to hear from you. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, Ballymoney, County Antrim, BT53 6PE. Let the Bible Speak, Ballymoney, County Antrim, BT53 6PE. Thank you for listening today. We're on the air here on Gospel AM each morning, Monday to Friday, at 9:30. So do remember to join us at this time as we let the Bible speak.